And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see," and I saw, and behold, bad movie futures. Hello, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special preview of Bad Movie Futures, the new members-only series here at Bad Movies We Love. What you're about to hear are the first 15 to 20 minutes or so of my conversation with Felicia Moroni from Seeing Faces in Movies, and our discussion on Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis from 2024. If you like what you hear and you want to become an official card-carrying member of the Resistance, stay tuned at the end of the preview for details on how to do that. I hope you enjoy the preview. Felicia, welcome back. Long time no see. It's good to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It has been a while. I feel like it's... I mean, we've chatted.
Yes.
Personally, but on the show, I don't know how long it's been. But I'm glad to be back. And
when we did The Mask, it felt like probably 2 years ago, at least.
Probably.
Yeah.
Time is escape. Time is not a thing. I like to stop time, you know, as Caesar does.
Oddly enough, you know, I had put out feelers for Megalopolis sort of end of 2024 or the very beginning of 2025 to see if somebody would want to talk about it. I know Cosmo is a fan, but she was like, I'll defer to somebody else. And then I had somebody else lined up to talk about Megalopolis who really loved it as well and was waiting for the release of either the 4K or the Blu-ray or something like that. And we had just like been planning and it just like never happened. And I was like, I don't want to keep pushing and just be like, hey, come on. Like, if you don't have it in you, then that's okay. Like, but then you posted something randomly and I saw it. And immediately, like a moth to flame, I was like, oh, my God, I have to jump on this opportunity while I can.
I'm glad it worked out. I can't even remember what the reference, like what I was talking about Megalopolis for. I mean, I don't need an excuse to. So it happened like in the space of a week and a half. And here we are.
Exactly.
So I'm happy.
Megalon moves quickly and is not volatile. So we were able to shape it to our needs right away. But I remembered that this movie came out. It was on HBO Max for a while. So I was like, cool, let me just go to Max. It is not there. And then, okay, let me go to, it's nowhere. Which is crazy, but also sort of appropriate for this movie, considering its sort of like pre-production history and its box office run and the post-production trying to get it distributed. Like, it's kind of just been messy from the very, very beginning, but I did secure access to it, and it was maybe even more relevant than it was a year ago, because, you know, this is something that Coppola started developing in, I believe, the late 70s. He always wanted to tell this story. So 50 years essentially in the making of this, and he kind of, I don't know if he was in like quote unquote director jail, but he was at least on like director probation because he was not really able to get the kind of funding that he wanted for this project. And so he had to amass his own individual wealth through selling wine, which is a very prominent wine label now, actually. But yeah, he had to earn his own wine fortune and then turn around and fund this project that has been a passion project for a long, long time. And it's just kind of crazy to see that a story that originated from the adaptation of a Roman story, then 50 years later, actually might have gained relevance and gained importance because it was released when it was. Like, if this movie comes out in the 70s, it's ambitious and you don't have a lot of the visual effects and stuff. But and I think in the 70s, it probably is at home and probably is a good movie at that time. But to see it, I think, in 2024 makes it a much different experience. And then again, in 25, you know, mid-year, it's kind of crazy how spot on it is.
Yep. I looked, it was released a year ago, like 2 days ago. So it was released September 27th.
Celebration. Maybe that's why someone mentioned it.
Maybe. Exactly. And it feels weird because it feels like it's much older than this, but only because, like you said, so much has happened since, you know, September 2024 between then and now. I think that it could have been a good film in the 70s as well, but like you said, it would be referencing different political points, different mm-hmm. things that have happened around the world, but especially in America at the time, and it wouldn't have the visual flourishes that this story requires. So I think it needed to be made when it did, and I think it's also important. I do want to preface to the audience that I don't think this is a bad movie. I actually love this movie, but I do understand that other people do. And I think it's important that people don't really love it now, because I think it will be more relevant later on. It's really reflective of now, but I think it's something that people can look back on 20 years from now and have a better appreciation for. That's what I hope for this movie. It's always weird with CGI, though. I know it's something you talk about on your show a lot when you talk about stuff from like the 80s and 90s CGI and how it holds up. So we'll see in 20 years how this holds up. But this also can be fun to look back on something, you know, 20 years prior to be like, wow, they really went for it. And he really did go for it in this movie.
Yeah. I guess I'll just ask you about the CGI stuff now, because on the one hand, the movie, I feel like part of why people sort of view it as a bad movie is like it looks weird. Like if it were made in the 70s, like it would be shot on film. It would be limited to certain visual effects, and you can still achieve a lot of this stuff. But like the tactile nature of that would be a lot different. However, when you're making a movie about the fall of sort of the Roman Empire as an allegory for the United States, and in doing that, also being an 80-something-year-old filmmaker who's made one of the greatest films of all time, who's been around the industry for a long, long time, you know, AI was big and is still big in sort of the conversation about artistry moving forward. So to have that person make the choices to have the movie look the way that it does, I think, is not on accident. I think a lot of those choices are meant to sort of spell out visually a lot of the concerns. And I remember when I first wrote the review, like the quick review on Letterboxd for the movie, I don't know, like a year ago or whatever, I was just like, it's gaudy and it's extravagant and it's all sort of like melded together and dipped in gold, but then also sort of like thrown on the canvas with the reckless abandon of a man who's thinking about legacy and about time. And so I feel like he really just has a lot to say with this movie. And, you know, at the time, I didn't even know that he had been developing it since the 70s. And then in watching it, I was like, this is like him making his own version of sort of Idiocracy to me. It has like a similar sort of tonal feel, even in the way that it looks. Obviously, Idiocracy is not like as CGI heavy, but the CGI here being as sort of displaced and maybe like noticeably CGI as it is, it's not meant to sort of disguise it as this like subtlety. It's meant to like hit you over the head with it. And so in that way, I think it is very effective.
Very much. And I love that you use the word gaudy. I think that like encapsulates this movie so perfectly. And not even just because he's Italian, and we all know my people love to be very gaudy and love the gold bling of it all. But I do think it's important that it doesn't seem, it's not trying to pretend like, oh, I snuck in some CGI.
Yes.
Like, say, I'm not even going to shit on other movies, but like more modern movies that are trying to pretend like they're not using CGI in moments to make it look realistic, even though it doesn't. This is just a full out. It's supposed to be a utopia, in quotes. So why would it look like our modern world right now? Even the modern city, like a lot of the times that they're the city, they're kind of Gotham that they're living in. Doesn't look, it looks similar to what I assume is New York, is what they're trying to emulate, but it also has a different energy to it. So it would be weird if he was just trying to pretend like, oh, I'm going to make a utopia that's similar to the world we live in, when we know that this is not a utopia. I don't want to think of a world that could be better that looks similar to the world I'm currently living in. So the CGI is a lot, and he spent a lot on it, and I think he got his money's worth for it. I think for me, what I love about this movie, not just the experience of it, is that if this is his last movie, I think this is a perfect way to go out, to be able to finally make your passion project, give it your all, and be like, you can like it or you don't, but I like it, and I can, you know, enjoy the rest of my life with it. So I rewatching it, I felt a little emotional about that. I was like, you know, this is a beautiful way to end your career if you're gonna retire after this, just being like, I did it, which is a lot. I would like to be able to do one project, finish it, and be like, cool, I did it the way I wanted to. So you can't hate on the man for that.
No, I mean, $120 million of his own money, had to start like a side hustle in order to to get enough money to do it. And then comes back and is like, yeah, guess what? Like, I still got to make the movie that I wanted to make without compromise. And, you know, part of the CGI element is both the, it is both a kind of, look at me, but also sort of specifically look at this, like the commentary that as we move more towards, I think, in artistry of filmmaking, as we move more towards a computer generated style, there is the misnomer that that is going to make things look better. But then in this movie, he's kind of countering that, I think, by being like, I like, it's an unnatural push towards that. And then the end result isn't necessarily that it looks better. It just looks the way that it does. And like, this movie is very, I called it gold plated, because the whole movie sort of feels like that. And the Megalon itself is a very gold infused item, but there's moments where you see it sort of moving around and it's like, it's not even high level CGI, right? So I feel like he intentionally sort of wants to leave reality behind with this, because you're not going to achieve the levels of gaudy self-indulgence and sort of the allusions to the Roman Empire, I think, without doing that. And especially now, like, so many things are sort of very muted and they're not lit well, and there's not really an emphasis on the actual, like, sort of color that you're using. And so this is almost like when you go to a casino and everything is just opulent and the ceiling is painted like the sky, so you don't even know if you're inside or outside. Like, you don't know if it's day or night, and there's just like sound and light and color, and it feels really rich and alive. And I can understand people sort of having an adverse reaction to this. So I want to just look at the ratings really quick, because there is a reason we're talking about it. It isn't just like, oh, this is a great movie that everybody loves and we're pigeonholing it. Like, no, this is a movie that, I will say, though, I feel like the reviews have gone up, because last time I looked at it, okay, they weren't this high. So it has a Rotten Tomatoes critic score of 50, so right on the line. Audience score of 34, though. Metacritic score of 55, so a little bit higher. IMDb user score, though, 47, Letterbox 46, so it's like what, 2.3, and then a Google user reviews of 46. So most of the people, the public, it's kind of the opposite of what normally happens on this show, where critics hate it, and then it's generally like a fairly okay movie based on sort of public response. But this is like critics, I think, kind of saw what he was trying to do, but the average person is like, this is the most horrible waste of time. I saw someone in one of the reviews say, like, in 55 years, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. And I'm like, well, I've seen worse movies this week than Megalopolis. And it just feels like it really somehow pushes against what is generally considered to be like good by public standards. And I think had this movie been made in the 70s, it wouldn't be coming on the tail end of the success of like superhero film franchises either. And so he has that as well, like all stacked in front of this kind of right after the MCU had its final phase before moving into whatever mess they're in now. And so his commentary on like the way that we consume movies as an audience, I think, is also very present in the delivery of this film.
Yeah, I have so much to say because I agree with everything you just said. A few points on that is, one, you know this, the audience probably doesn't know this, I don't watch a lot of modern movies. So for me to go see something in the cinema opening weekend is very rare. So I did see this the Saturday morning that it came out of that weekend. At that point, I think most of the people I knew had seen it the Friday night, but I went so early in the Saturday, I hadn't seen any reviews. I had the best time of my life watching this movie, open Letterboxd as I left, and I'm seeing one-star reviews, and I was shocked.
Wow.
I was like, wait a minute. Oh, I feel like a lot of people don't like fun. So that's one thing. Yeah. A lot of people don't like fun. Two, and I don't say this about people I know, but I think the average person, not to sound like a dickhead, but the average movie watcher knows the name Francis Ford Coppola. They know The Godfather. They might know a couple other things like The Conversation or a couple other films he's done. They don't know that this is not outside of his realm. This is not like a one-off. He has made a bunch of movies that are visually opulent like this, like One from the Heart, Rumblefish. Even something like Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, is insane. So this is very much his type of thing that he loves to do. He just became known for something like The Godfather, Apocalypse Now, that is more a straightforward, you know, story that's not visually, it's, they're all beautifully shot, but they're not Megalopolis, obviously.
Yeah.
So people were thrown off because he hadn't made a movie in 13 years. And the last few movies he had made were not liked by the masses. So everyone kind of knew that this was like his comeback, I hate to say it, movie. And they went into it expecting, I don't know what. I really don't know what they were expecting, but they didn't get what they wanted, I guess. So a lot of people just were like, they just shat on it so hard. And I always joke with people. I'm like, I want to hear your thoughts 20 years from now, because I will be the first person to say I told you so. I will be petty enough.
Thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bad Movie Futures. We're going to be starting with 2024 films, and the goal is to do at least one of these per month. But there are always new movies in the worst of the year crosshairs. So if the shoe fits, I'm happy to wear it. You can sign up for the members-only tier by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support. I hope to see you soon.